Each one of us comes here on Sunday mornings to nurture our hearts. If we are young or not so young, we hope to see friends, to have a time of play, maybe a good snack, a good laugh. We might need a hug or some kind of understanding. We might need to talk and tell a bit of our story for a little while and know that there will be a friend to listen. We may need to grieve a loss or even another loss. We may be afraid for ourselves or for others who are suffering. We also may want to celebrate because there are so many changes and milestones in life that it's almost impossible to number them. These slow sharings, heart to heart, over many years between friends is the weaving of community and the weaving of the Spirit. We are each in this fabric. We each add our small touches and flourishes, for everyone has a gift, some kind of expertise, or a smile, or a laugh, or that tear of compassion when we know someone is hurting. When we can see to the core of each person here, beyond all the outward differences and all the perceived differences, we can see, usually through the eyes, that inner light within, not only within the other, but a glimmer of it within ourselves. This is the Spirit coming to life. You saw and heard it just a moment ago as we connected. And the someone else within that supports us is there, drawing us to divine freedom, as Richard Rohr called it in our reading. This is what freedom is. This release and connection, heart to heart, eye to eye, hand to hand. A group of our caring community sat down in my home yesterday for a training on how to understand grief and provide deep and active listening to others. As we checked in and included our own experiences of grief, a slow weave of stories emerged from each life. The comings and goings of cancer, the lessons we learned from the first death in our life, the long and slow accumulation of more deaths and more sorrows, the need to stay in community through chronic and irreversible conditions, the long-standing grief when someone is taken by violence or has an experience of violence, such as Columbine, which, as we know, is alive here still, as well as all the other tragic, violent things. We breathed in all those stories, and we let them sit there among us. Now, this might sound like it could be awfully depressing, but what seemed to emerge from all the lifetime stories was a kind of wisdom, a deeper knowledge of how precious life is, and that every moment lived, especially with those we love, has meant something, has been worth it, has changed our lives. At the end of a major grief, and many of you have had one, many have found an experience of enlightenment, they said, a literal lightening of the heart, an understanding of a deeper meaning in life, a capacity to hold more grief and love, and a stronger ability to show and give compassion and to empathize with others, which means to feel their pain or to feel their joy and to walk with them in that way. Holding us together as we learned, the weaving of all this knowledge was palpable, so much so that a latecomer wondered if she could ever provide compassionate care. And with a smile and a laugh and a breath of humility, this little sparkling bubble that had been in our midst popped. And to a person, she was assured that anyone could be a friend and that no one is ever an expert. And then that spirit of peace resided within each of us and held us in quiet as we moved on. I mentioned last week that our caring circle is almost unbelievable in how many ways it holds different people in the congregation through loss and grief, surgeries and chronic medical conditions, the pain of divorces and job loss, and changes brought about by physical and mental illness. None of these things can be taken away or changed, but we can learn to witness and stay by one another through difficult, even horrific times. My reflection today is about nurturing that spirit within our community. Many religious communities try to define this spirit, this thing we feel, and create all kinds of rules and belief systems. But within a Unitarian Universalist community, our desire is for you to see and feel the spirit through our actions and our deeds. To me, to have or under spirit for yourself alone, without it leading to tangible actions, is a waste. Which is not to say that you shouldn't work on your inner life, because you will be as good to others as you are good to yourself. But as James, the brother of Jesus, says in the Bible, "What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith but do not have works? Can faith save you? If a brother or sister is naked and lacks daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, keep warm, and eat your fill,' and yet you do not supply their bodily needs, what good is that? Faith by itself, if it has no works, is dead. Show me your faith apart from works, and I by my works will show you my faith." Spirit grows within us and between us, I believe, mostly through acts of kindness, which can even be a courageous kindness when something tragic happens or when someone is living with a tragic condition or issue. Faithful action also includes our work for justice, challenging our worldviews by getting to know people that we perceive as different, learning that they are coming from somewhere else, expanding our horizons to a multicultural faith, and imagining together creating a beloved community which would include all and exclude none. That kind of faith and belief is not going to happen by sitting down. It's going to require all of us working together, coming to service Sunday next week, and being part of something to make a difference. There were stories of people among us at the gathering at my house who were abandoned by friends because of their cancer, for example, because people simply did not know what to say or do. But as most of us know, there's nothing you can really say, nor anything you can do, except be with someone through each treatment, always hoping for the best, and being realistic and compassionate, whatever each turn brings. One of our members whose partner has a chronic illness suggests that you always ask how things are going. Just start there. And even when they don't want to talk, don't be afraid to ask again, because sooner or later they will want to talk. And they don't want to be forgotten or abandoned or not invited. And when they do speak about how things really are, listen, don't interrupt, and don't change the subject. So when you ask someone that simple question of how are you doing today, be prepared for an answer. And if there is a real answer, be prepared to listen. That's what friends do. The gift of being in community with one another, no matter what curveballs may be thrown, is that we truly learn to see past differences to the heart of each person. Our sameness, to the degree that we may appear the same in body or thought, is a myth. For we are varied. We come from many backgrounds, have had many different kinds of experiences, have suffered many kinds of losses. I have a desire to ask anyone raise their hand who hasn't suffered a loss, but I don't want to see what that feels like. I'm happy for you, I would say. But most of us, we have suffered losses. And because of that, we know how to be friends with those also who are suffering. As we expand our capacity to see to the heart of each person, we can learn to see that heart and light in more and more people. We come to notice that it is in everyone, no matter their condition or perceived differences. For no one is born without a light within. This is the spiritual meaning of recognizing the inherent worth and dignity of every person, our first principle. If you believe that, you can begin to see the light within anyone. And that is the hope we have for learning to be together in civil, respectful relationships, no matter what those perceived differences. Please believe that. The development of kindness and compassion as a spiritual practice through our caring circle, our caring community, or our friendships brings out this light in those who need caring hands and in those who want to provide that care. In this way, the Spirit is nurtured, connecting us in its gentle embrace. It is walking on holy ground to go into the hospital to see someone you love. It is walking on holy ground to go to someone's home who's lost someone. It is the most important thing we can do for one another. When we have had an experience like this that touches our hearts, including a deep grief that eventually brings us a moment of enlightenment or wisdom, we will not forget that sense of our feeling which we held within our hearts, minds, and souls, and perhaps even in our bodies. We can go back and enter that feeling or that sense of connection through our breathing, through prayer, through meditation, perhaps a walk outside. That is where we will either feel that great emptying Richard Rohr described in our reading, or you might experience a fullness of heart, wholeness, and unity with everything. This is where the Spirit lives within. This is where we find grace for all of our many failings. This is the place of assurance that life is always filled with wonder, no matter what it brings. In this place, we are aware that something else is holding us, keeping us, loving us, bringing us inner healing. It may be the breathing of the world. It may be the peace that passeth all understanding. It may be God or Gaia. But however you feel or experience such inner joy or peace, may it always lighten your heart and your burdens. May you bring that with you wherever you go, offering kindness and care to one another. And may you keep it alive so that others may see it. And may it bless you all the days of your life, for you will never lose it. Amen.